We're studying what we started out in Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. A lot of things there. The creation. We look at the body, especially of a newborn child, and think of how amazing it really is. Today we're going to look at the mind, which is perhaps the most amazing thing. After all, the body, we'll make it an offering, according to Romans chapter 12. It's cursed. Then there's the mind, which is amazing. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, when this man asked, which is a great commandment in the law, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. The mind is perhaps the most amazing of God's creation. We can't see it, but think about what all that mind controls. Emotions, imaginations, conscience, let alone its command center. From a technical standpoint, it relays information to other body parts in milliseconds. Hand-eye coordination. I watched a program on things. Well, the guy was a guitar player. He was shredding, which is kind of like a guitar exercise. It takes a lot of coordination and a lot of work. But they had a machine on the brain showing the brain waves. It's amazing how fast things work in the human brain. Like David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. That's in Psalms 139:14. I don't know if I quoted it correctly or not. It controls the vital organs. Study into any kind of disease and you see how it can be affected. That's what is affected, is bodily functions. But the mind takes care of all these things. It's like a computer, which is originally programmed by the Creator. Adam needed no education. He named the animals. He knew all he needed to know. Had a pure mind. And if you don't think that's much, consider how Noah took his three sons and built a huge ship. Has a pure mind, as it's called. But since that crash, the man's rebellion, man now programs his own. We have, voila, what's called free thinkers. Don't let yourself be one. Dreamers. Now, there are some that are inventors, but free thinkers, you'll find, don't give us anything good, so to speak. There was no fault in God's making and creating Adam's mind, but since that time, people come up with some crazy things. Look at tattoos, for example. What would make somebody want to get a tattoo? People love them. Inventions. Man's come up with a lot of them according to Scripture. We must protect our mind. What we allow it to think about, if we allow it to think about something long enough, it'll soon put feet on those thoughts and be doing what it's been thinking about doing. That's, I guess, one way to put it. In 1 Peter chapter 1:13, we read here last week, I believe, gird up the loins of your mind. We read it sometime back, recently. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sobered, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end. Don't be tenacious about it. Don't let off on it. Keep your foot on the gas. That's a way you could look at it. Don't quit. Hope to the end. Resist the wicked. Don't stop. Give heed. Chapter 4, verse 7 in the same book. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Watch that you don't enter into temptation. Chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, we all know cats, when they stalk their prey, they're usually pretty quiet until they got it. The girding up of the loins in those days, everybody wore robes, but you couldn't run in them things. It was a time for war. You had to tuck it up under your belt so you could run. Gird up the loins. Be ready at all times. Keep your mind on the things of God. Don't let it wander, that we all do. We all have the ability to imagine, and we let that get the best of us sometime. Imagine or imagination, a word or a variation of that word, occurs some 14 times in Scripture. And most every time it's for evil. Going back to Genesis chapter 8, 21, what was it God said about man? It's even in Genesis chapter 6, that what happened to that race, their minds and hearts was on evil continually. The imagination and of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's where it will end up. Verse 21 of chapter 8. God said, midway through the paragraph, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It'll only get worse if you let it. Keep it upon the things of God. Our thoughts, our ideals, our imagination is centered around us. God created it for His glory. You're going to be tempted, but nevertheless, our imagination, our mind is for God's glory. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. No doubt the Wright brothers imagined flying long before they did. There's others that were ahead of them. That the mind of an inventor takes similar things that are made and makes something out of it to serve another purpose. But Solomon wrote there was no new things under the sun. That's there in the book of Ecclesiastes. The first chapter, 9th and 10th verse. That the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there any new thing whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. That's pretty amazing, you think about it. And seeing that God is eternal and more finite, we have no idea of what existed before us. Solomon wrote in that same chapter, verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive this is also vexation of spirit. I like that one. It's much reading is much toil. vexation of spirit. Studying, my take on studying goes back to my college days, studying all night and counting and things like that. I don't have good memories of it. But we're to keep our minds upon the things of God. The scripture is filled with that throughout. If we don't, I'll tell you what it is if you don't. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. This has been read in this pulpit many times. Verse 5 of Romans 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, minding of the flesh, that is death. Says what it says. Means it. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Notice then what Christ said there in Matthew 22. He did not mention flesh, body, soul, and spirit. He didn't say the body. He did say the mind, which is what we're studying. All thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And there's a couple examples in the Old Testament. Jehu, who was commissioned to wipe out Ahab and Jezebel and all their posterity, all their family, lineage, I wipe them out. But he did not do all that well himself. In 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 31. We're to keep our minds clean. We're to keep it upon the things of God. But Jehu, verse 31, took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all his heart. And he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. That's worshiping idols. Serious matter. 2 Chronicles chapter 27. We read of a man named Uzziah. He had a son, Jotham. Uzziah was struck with leprosy, never went to the house, wasn't permitted to. Well, his son never did either. Verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 27, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Well, we wonder how come our society is so corrupt. They weren't always taught. If we don't teach one generation, you think they're going to learn it on their own? A few will, but for the biggest part, man will walk out after the imagination of his own heart. He's a free thinker. He'll do his own thing. The ills of society begin with this: let your mind wander and do what you want to do. The last words of the book of Judges. And keep in mind, this is after they had nearly wiped out one of the tribes of Israel because they wouldn't let their sin go. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's your free thinkers, and it'll bring destruction and death. Most people don't see a problem with the free-thinking lifestyle. Well, it leads to all those other problems that's gone on in society. That goes without saying. What does it leave in the mind, this free-thinking of the world? Things get stuck in our mind, and we can't unthink things. We can't unsee things. We all have, like I said, the problem of things getting stuck in our mind. Certain songs sometimes, it's hard to get out. That's one more reason we need to keep the things of God in our minds, on our hearts. When we pray, what's on our mind? Keep our affections upon the things that are above. We're told in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are on the world? No, it said those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Our citizenship is what it's talking about here. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often and tell you weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. These earthly things, with all that's going on in the world, this building and all, our houses, our cars, are going to be destroyed, wiped out. These bodies going to go back to the dust. One more reason why we should mind our heavenly things. For our conversation is in heaven. That's our citizenship. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And the more I think about that, what we read in Romans chapter 12, make yourself a living sacrifice. That's the best thing you can do to these old bodies. It's cursed. Get something of worth out of it. It ain't going to be living worldly. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? We need to have a sanctified imagination, I guess is the way to put it. If you allow yourself, as I said, to be a free thinker, you will eventually put shoes on your thoughts and be acting them out. And if you stay there long enough, you'll be just like those that we read of in Genesis chapter 6, where the man's heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There are people we've probably seen that all they was about was sin and evil. Nothing good. You leave your mind on things such as that, that's exactly what you'll turn out to be. The mind is a seat of imagination. Some call man's inventions creating, which is not right. Only God can create. We make from things that are already created. We come up with ideas. God simply spoke things into existence, and we don't have that ability. We take what we have, and we make something out of it. Man calls it his imagination. Every advance made by mankind in any field has and begins with an idea. That comes from the mind. There were no TVs, phones, automobiles at one time. Somebody's imagination started tinkering around and invented one. And in many cases, these inventions were for the betterment of society, but they've been abused in some cases. Look at the cell phones. Can be used for good. Necessary evil, I like to call them. Tragically, World War II began with someone's defiled imagination, thinking that they would build a superior race. Now, many died horrible deaths in World War II, but there were a lot of inventions that come out for good. Things like ballpoint pens, certain medicines, certain health care, surgery techniques. I'm not saying that made them just, but James chapter 4, verse 1 tells us about where war comes from. It comes from lust. I want what you have. We see it going on now over in Europe. Covetousness is always a center of the vivid imagination. I want this. I want that. I want to make this. I want to fly. As I said, talents can be used for evil, they can be used for good, but they all begin, or all these things we're talking about, begin with the mind. Scripture is the only true realistic book in the world. It deals with the real things, God, His creation, the hereafter, hell, death and sin, God's attributes. They're equally real. We cannot see the spirit world, but we know it's real. His word tells us so. Many places, Psalms 103 and 20 talks about the angels of God. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. We know these things to be so. We cannot see the spirit world, but we know it exists by what goes on in the world. Like I say, the mind has this ability to reason. We need to have a clean mind. A clean imagination allows one to perceive spiritual truths. We need to learn scripture. We need to learn it at an early age. So the more we keep our mind on the things of God, the better off we are. When we're young and someone tells us something, we tend to believe it. As we age, we tend to agree with David, where he said, all men are liars. Man has a great imagination, and we know it to be so. The mind has the ability to discern, but how? How can it rightly discern? What did Solomon do in the case of the two women? One of them laid on a child in the night and it died. She put their dead child in the other woman's bed and took up the live one of her own. And we all know what Solomon did. Solomon said, take a sword and divide the child, knowing that the true mother of the child would say, don't harm the child. The mind has the ability to discern things like that. How am I going to be able to tell if a salesman is feeding me a line or something? Well, if you study, ask questions, and reason long enough, you might get your answer. In the book of Joshua, when he went in to take the promised land, the Gibeonites made like they'd been traveling for days. The bread was moldy, their shoes were clotted up on their feet. Muddy, defiled. They said, yeah, okay, we'll make peace with you. They didn't take time to seek the Lord's counsel. That's in the book of Joshua, the 9th chapter. There in the book of Psalms, the 2nd Psalm, chapter 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, if you study this psalm, it's talking about the Lord's return. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is a creator we're talking about here. That ain't going to happen. He's going to have His way. as we see down there in verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. People are imagining a vain thing. That's imagination. That's what it'll get you. It'll get you this point right here. You're making war against the Almighty, and you know how that's going to turn out. Going against Christ at Armageddon. To be successful at anything, we need to learn to bridle our imagination. I remember business in sound. They made soundboards and things like that. It was doing really well. Next thing you know, they were out of business. They imagined themselves to be big. They, instead of paying their bills with the money that they had coming in, they invested and spent more money on more equipment and soon had equipment and no money and were out of business. We have to bridle our imagination. Think realistically. The carnal mind, as we've already looked at, is enmity with God. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I remember I'd been to college for 3+ years when the Lord saved me, 4 years. Too much. I didn't begin to really learn until after the Lord saved me. He cleans out the garbage. The thoughts and the things that's taught in the colleges, Greek literature or Greek mythology, crazy stuff. They call that education. We need, as I say, to not be a free thinker, to be careful what we study. The carnal mind does not care about the things that the church stands for. The things that the church stands for are pure and good. They're also truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that's going to take us a while to get there. But if you do that, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie away to deceive. There's a lot of them out there, and they'll tell you they're preaching the truth. Oh, they'll teach a little truth. But speaking the truth in love may grow up to him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. That's what the church is for, is to teach Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith. Till we're all Christ-like. We're not there yet. Ephesians chapter 3:20, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If Christ is not the foundation, leave what they're teaching alone, because they're teaching heresy. It's called spiritual growth. The feel-good Arminian says he made his own choice. If a man makes a decision, he can change that decision. Scriptures teach that he who hath begun a good work in you shall finish it. The purified and spirit-controlled imagination is interested in glorifying God. That's what we're here for. The mind is made by God, created by him. Only he could have done it. Now, how could the mind, that just evolved? You didn't have anything to start with. No, the other physical aspects of the body couldn't have been brought about like the evolutionists tell us either. But the mind certainly could not have. Where was it to have its beginning? And how could it have increased in ability? People that come up with such are truly dreamers. Hitler was a dreamer, wanting to create his superior race, and we know what happened. The Titanic was created by dreamers, and we know what happened to it. However, God gave an amateur, as the saying goes, Noah, specifications for the ark, and it done what it was designed to do. If you allow yourself, as I say, to be a free thinker, you'll end up carrying out your thoughts. Man likes to come up with a way he can make himself a hero. But like I say, all in all, the mind was created by God for his own glory. We're bound in this world physically, but we're also bound in this world emotionally. The mind is also the center of emotion. And the book of Acts, the second chapter, the 37th, I was thinking about what Brother Joe said last week. The last person you want to see walks through the door, your emotions are going to show it. These men here, when they were brought to see that they crucified their Messiah, this is in Acts chapter 2, I believe verse 37. They were pricked in their heart. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's emotion. That's also carried out in the mind. Like I say, we just briefly looked at the mind today. We really haven't covered all emotions, probably about half of them. The conscience, the command center, the emotions, the imaginations, all these things take their place in the mind, which was created by God for himself. That's all the time we have today. We'll take up there, Lord willing, probably with more of the mind.